Ngayong hapon na ito, we will once again continue our series in the book of Titus. Paul wrote this letter to Titus because of his growing concern that many false teachers ang nagsispread ng mga makamandag na doktrina sa loob mismo ng iglesia ng Crete. At ang imoralidad ng kultura ay dahan-dahan na iimpluwensyahan ang mga kultura or ang gospel culture sa loob ng mga churches sa Crete. Para i-address itong growing concern na ito, Paul wrote to Titus and provided a picture on what a healthy church looks like. As he gives itong picture na ito, a church should be teaching the right doctrine. This church should be led by godly elders, and where church members from different categories or groups are to live a life of godliness. Dapat yun po ang itsura ng isang masaganang iglesia. Sa hapon po na ito, we will see that Paul addressed another significant group sa churches of Crete, and that they must portray a life that has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and kung paano ho sila magre-relate sa kapwa nila. Now, this prominent group are the Christian slaves. Yes, they are the Christian slaves, and Paul gave instructions on how they are to relate to their masters. Although slaves are no longer practiced in our socio-economic system sa time na ito, it does not mean we cannot learn how to have a healthy gospel witness sa ating mga employer, especially for most of us, if not all of us, na nagtatrabaho dito sa Dubai. You see, the gospel produces godly servants who provide godly service in order to make the gospel of Christ attractive. The gospel produces godly servants who will provide godly service in order to make the gospel of Christ attractive. This passage is divided into three different headings. Number one, the Christian servant, verse 9a. Ang Kristiyanong lingkod. Number two, the qualities of a Christian servant, verses 9b to 10a. Ang mga katangian ng Kristiyanong lingkod. And number three, the purpose of a Christian servant's service, verse 10b. O ang layunin ng Kristiyanong naglilingkod. Umpisahan po natin sa number one. The Christian servant o ang Kristiyanong lingkod. Verse 9. Sabi ho dyan, bond servants or slaves. So verses 2 to 8, pagkatapos binigyan ng instruction ni Pablo si Tito kung paano mamuhay ang mga Kristiyano from various groups within the Cretan churches, sa verse 9 naman, dinagdagan pa niya ng isa pang grupo. Okay? Na itong grupo na ito ay kailangan i-exhort. At yung grupo na yan ay mga Christian slaves or yung tinatawag na bond servants. Idinagdag ni Paul ang mga slaves sa liham na ito dahil po sa significant numbers nila sa congregation. In short, napakadami pong mga alipin sa loob ng mga churches ng Crete which somehow dominated yung population ng Crete. The word bond servant sa verse 9 is doulos or slaves. It is the same word na ginamit ni Paul when he introduced himself sa chapter 1 verse 1 when he said, Paul, slave of God or a servant of God. Maring pagpapakilala niya sa kanyang sarili para di lamang mabigyan ng tunay na estado niya sa harapan ng Panginoon, kung hindi para maka-identify din siya sa kanyang kongregasyon. Ang slavery nung ancient times ay sadly katanggap-tanggap or acceptable. Part ito ng labor force or labor structure ng panahon na ito. Ang social economic institution ng slavery ay laganap sa buong Greek and Roman society. Ang mga slaves o alipin nung panahon na ito varies from gender to age or nationality. Walang isang lahi na alipin ko, hindi lahat ho. It happens kapag may isang empire, kagaya ng Rome or Greek Empire, ay sinakop yung ibang mga kaharian or nations, at lahat ng mga tao na kanilang nation na tinalo, ay lilipunin ho nila yan at gagawin nilang mga alipin. Maring nagiging alipin po ito kapag bumili ng alipin ng isang tao, o kaya naman walang pambayad ng utang, kaya pinababayad po ang mga tao bilang laborer. Now, kailangan natin maunawaan na ang mga slaves sa panahon na ito ay hindi nakakadena at nilalatigo. Kagaya ng napapanood po natin sa mga TV, ano, o sinehan. Bagamat kung malupit ang amo, ay marahil ay ganito ang kinalalagyan ng iba. Pero sa kabuuan po na nangyayari ng ang slave system noong time na yon, ay hindi ho lahat ay ganon ang kalagayan. Karamihan ng mga slaves ay edukado. They are skilled men and women, dalubhasa sa kanilang profesyon. At malaki ang kontribusyon sa ekonomiya at lipunan ng panahon iyon. They could be doctors, teachers, builders, and some are ambassadors. Ganun po yung mga slaves noong mga time na yon. Iba-iba ang mga posisyon na kinalalagyan ng mga alipin. Mayroon mga nanunungkulan sa mataas na posisyon na kung saan pinagkakatiwala ang buong pamamalakad ng negosyo ng kanyang amo, at mayroon din naman naglilingkod sa mga mabababang katungkulan. Mayroon mga slaves na nagkakaroon ng maganda at malalim na relasyon sa kanilang mga amo, at ang turingan nila ay parang pamilya na. At syempre, mayroon din mga slaves na pinagmamalupitan at kinasusuklaman nila ang bawat isa o ang isa't isa. Sa relasyon na ito, parehas ay nakikinabang sa bawat isa. Ang mga master ay napapakinabangan ng kanilang servisyo, ng kanilang alipin, at ang mga alipin naman ay nakikinabang sila sa relasyon na ito dahil susustentuhan ang pangangailangan ng kanilang pamilya. So it is like an employer and employee relationship. Yun po yung dating ho doon. Walang mga manpower agencies, walang ganun ho. Ito ang kalakaran noon, slave and master. Bagamat katanggap-tanggap sa lahat ang slavery sa panahon na ito, hindi ito tama. Hindi po ito tama. Gusto ko lang po klaruhin na hindi ito tama. Okay? At salamat sa Panginoon at hininto na niya yung ira ng ganitong klaseng sistema. Sa konteksto sa churches ng Crete, Paul warns and exhorts the Christian slaves to conduct themselves in such a way that their lives have been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. God calls these slaves in the Cretan churches to himself. He washed them from their sins, redeemed them, restored them to God the Father. They were saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. These slaves no longer are slaves to sin, but slaves to Christ's righteousness. Meron na silang bagong master, and they are his master, Jesus Christ. This means that in the churches of Crete, both masters and slaves, sa loob ng churches nila, are brothers and sisters. They are both co-heirs in Christ. They are now one. Pag nasa loob sila ng Cretan churches, wala ho, pantay-pantay ang tingin. Sila lahat ay magkakapatiran sa Panginoon. 12 months ago, Crossroads was planted with 56 members who are all uniquely different from one another. Together, we have strived a gospel-shaped community to take place within our congregation. Throughout these past months, we have witnessed the Lord's work of grace sa mga buhay ng mga taong umaattend ng church na ito. We have seen the Spirit of the Lord empowered our preaching, our one-to-one discipleship, our community group gatherings, intentional meals and meetings. Many came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as the gospel was unleashed multiple times. We had baptized 23 people and now have a total members of 85 individuals. We praise God and we thank God of His work of grace sa life natin. Again, this is nothing na kailangan natin itapang sarili natin sa balikat. We know our weaknesses, we know our flaws, we know our limitations, but this is but an evidence of the working power of the Holy Spirit within our midst. These 85 members of the church came from different walks of life. Iba't iba kayong region sa Pilipinas. Maaring iba-ibang dialekto ang inyong heart language. Iba-ibang seasons of life. And the major commonality we all have is this. It's Christ. Christ is the very person that keeps us together. Because of what Christ has done sa mga buhay ng bawat isa sa atin, ang tawagan na po natin dito ay brothers and sisters. Okay? Because of what Christ has done, we are now siblings in Christ. Ang tawagan na po rito ay bro and sis, hindi lamang sa tawag, kundi pati na rin sa katayuan sa harapan ng Diyos. Walang mataas-mataas, walang mababang-mababa, walang ganito ang trabaho, walang ganyan ang trabaho. May trabaho, walang trabaho. Nakapag-aral niyo, wala ho yung ganito dito. Tayo po lahat ay magkakapatiran na sa Panginoon and should be treated equally as a brother and sister in Christ. Walang mayaman, walang mahirap, walang galing sa ganitong pamilyang mataas, walang galing sa ganitong hindi kilalang pamilya sa Pilipinas, wala pong ganito dito. Lahat yan ay nabali na nung tayo po ay niligtas ng Panginoon Jesucristo according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. Sapagkat si Kristo mismo ang nagbigay sa atin ng kapayapaan dahil pinag-isa niya ang mga Hudyo at ang mga Hintil. Sa pamamagitan ng kanyang katawan, giniba niya ang pader ng alitan na naghihiwalay sa atin. God has taken down the wall of hostility, and because of Christ, we are gathered together. We are now one. So as people who were united in Christ, we are all servants of Christ. Si Kristo ang ating master. This means as servants who were transformed by Jesus, we should produce godly service in the workplace. Bilang mga niligtas ng Panginoon Jesucristo, kailangan maging evident ito kung paano ho tayo magtrabaho bilang empleyado. Now, regarding sa trabaho, ano ba ho dapat ang itsura nito? Ano ba ang mga katangian ng isang mananampalataya mismo sa workplace? Well, number two answers that question. Number two, the qualities of the Christian servant o ang mga katangian ng Kristiyanong lingkod. Let's read verse 9 hanggang 10. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. Sa part po na ito, Paul gave 5 qualities that mark a servant that has been transformed by the power of the gospel. Again, these are not 5 self-help tips na kailangan sundan ng bawat empleyado in order for us to get the Model Employee of the Year Award. Hindi po yan ang layunin ng 5 tips na ito. Na kapag ginawa natin yan, magkakaroon tayo ng promotion. Kapag nagawa natin, magkakaroon ako ng increment. Pag sinunod ko yung sinasabi ni Apostol sa Bible. At minsan ginagawa po natin parang anting-anting yung mga ganito. Ano, hindi po yan ang layunin ng steps na ito o ng mga qualities na ito. Okay? So, isa-isayin po natin ngayong oras na ito. These qualities are but fruits that came from a heart that has been renewed by Christ and are needed to be instructed para mapaalalahanan ng bawat isang mananampalataya na nandito ngayong hapon na ito. Unahin po natin yung first quality. Number one, makikita po ito sa verse 9. And I put it in this way, submit to your superiors. These are 5 sub-points ng point number 2 natin, just to be clear. Submit to your superiors. Verse 9, be submissive to their own masters in everything. Now, teka muna. Hindi ba dapat automatic na ito sa isang alipin ng panahon ni Paul na sumunod na lang sa kanyang amo? Na mga slaves ay dapat sumunod sa kanilang mga masters since wala naman silang choice dahil sila ay pagmamay-ari ng kanilang amo? Well, ganito po yan. Since Christ has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, this makes masters on equal footing with slaves. Okay? Sila ngayon ay magkakapatid na kay Christ, kagaya po ng nabanggit nating kanina. At dapat pantay-pantay ang turingan. Ang dahilan kung bakit binigay ni Paul itong warning or instruction na ito sa mga slaves is this. Ang panganib lang na nakikita ni Paul dito sa mga Christian slaves na ito, na in light of their new found freedom kay Christ, ay maaaring gamitin ng mga slaves na ito bilang lisensya. Ang pagiging kapatiran nila kay Kristo to disobey or disrespect their masters at maging rebelde. Kung sila ay kapwa Kristiyano, dapat all the more na magpasakop sila sa kanilang mga earthly masters at maglingkod mabuti. Dahil kung hindi, it would discredit the gospel of Christ sa mga kasamahan nilang sa trabaho or to the watching world. And Paul doesn't want that to happen. So Paul instructs Titus to exhort the Christian slaves to serve their earthly masters well, regardless sa sila ay mananampalataya o hindi mananampalataya. At itong instruction na ito ay nararapat alalahanin sa ating mga namamasukan dito sa Dubai. Because this applies to us as well. We must obey our superiors, our seniors, our employers, and serve them well. We must obey them, lalo na kung sila ay kapatiran sa Panginoon. Lalo na kung sila ay Kristiyano. Hindi yung ginagamit ang pagiging kapatiran upang makakuha ng kung ano-anong klaseng pabor. Ay, Kristiyan yan. O, hindi mo na ako papasok kasi Kristiyan yan, maunawaan naman niya. Ay, hindi, kasama ko sa church yan, ito gagawin ko. Hindi ho dapat ganun. O magiging lisensya ito para maging tamad and insubordinate sila sa kanilang amo. Now, maaaring mas nauunawaan mo ang nature o galawan sa trabaho mo kaysa sa boss mo o seniors mo kapag meron siyang pinapagawa. Pero hindi po dapat natin gawing lisensya ang kanyang kakulangan, maging lisensya ang ating mas malalim na kaalaman, mas malawak na karanasan o mga kakilala sa mataas na tungkulin upang hindi magpasakop sa kanila. O kaya naman, pag inutusan sila, hindi natin susundin. O ibigay ang hindi natin ibibigay yung nararapat na respeto na dapat sa kanila. Mga kapatid, kailangan natin mapaalalahanan na ang Diyos ang naglagay sa kanila sa posisyon ngayon. Ang Diyos mismo naglagay sa posisyon mo ngayon, sa ilalim nila. Kailangan ho natin paalalahanan ang sarili natin na kapag tayo po ay nagmumukmok o nagtatampo o nagiinit ng ulo o nahihirapan gumising ng umaga dahil alam mo, haharapin mo itong mga tao na ito. Sino naglagay sa kanila sa posisyon? Hindi po kayo. Hindi yung boss nila ko, hindi ang Panginoon. We must have the right understanding of God's sovereignty sa situation ng ating buhay. Diyos ang naglagay sa kanila. Maaring imposible ang kanilang ugali o talagang hindi mo maintindihan yung temperament o mood ng mga taong ito, pero as Christians, listen, as Christians, we are called not to rebel against them, but to compel them with the hope that we have in Christ. Yun ang ating trabaho. Kasi po, ultimately, ang pinaglilingkuran po natin ay ang Panginoon. Ultimately. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Marino po rito. Kung ang Diyos ang naglagay dyan sa kanyang posisyon, at kapag ikaw ay naglilingkod under this person's authority, and if you obey, then you're honoring Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, another parallel passage. Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants or slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God in the teaching may not be reviled. Friends, do you obey your superiors only when you see that it would benefit you or provide you convenience? At kung hindi, hindi mo nasusundin? Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says that servants be submissive to their own masters in everything. So pastor, sa verse na yan, ang ibig sabihin ba rito, sa lahat ng bagay? Kasi ayun nakalagay, everything.
So lahat ng pinag-uutos ni boss, gagawin ko kasi sabi sa Bible yun. Tama ba? Yes, tama po. In everything.
As long as, ito yung condition, as long as it is not unbiblical, it is not illegal, it is not unethical, or it is not immoral. Yun po ang ating mga conditions. Apart from that, everything that is related sa trabaho, kailangan po natin sundin. Kung hindi ka sigurado how to draw the line from these exemptions, then you need counsel. I encourage you to approach me or some of our men if you are in a time sa life mo that you're trying to make a decision to stay or to go or to follow your boss or not. Okay? Because these need wisdom. Not only should a Christian employee exemplify godly actions sa workplace, but also show godly attitudes. And we do that by serving them well. We do that by serving them well. Paano po? Yan yung sinasabi sa number two, sub-point number two. Seek to satisfy your superiors with your performance. Let me say that again. Seek to satisfy your superiors with your performance. Ano naman sa Bible, verse 9. They are to be well-pleasing. The words well-pleasing in terms of quality sa Greek language means acceptable. Katanggap-tanggap sa employer. Trabaho na katanggap-tanggap. Hindi okay na yan. Paul reminds the Christian slaves through Titus that they should not just serve their masters for the sake of serving them, but they should serve in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to their masters. Dapat ganun po. Friends, it is not wrong to seek to please our superiors. Hindi po. It's not wrong to seek to please our superiors with excellence in performance. Actually, yun ang sinasabi ni Paul sa verse na ito. Bagamat, kailangan natin mag-ingat at suriin mabuti ang motibo ng ating puso kung bakit natin gustong-gusto i-achieve ang excellence sa trabaho. Some of us might be saying, oh, kailangan excellence, kailangan magaling, and praise God, kailangan yan. Lalabas ko ang creativity ko, yung mga mag-overtime ako, great! Kailangan to ng kumpanya, mag-contribute ako, ay lalabas ko yung aking galing. Sige, that's great. Friends, ito lang ang question ko sa atin ngayong hapon. What are your motives in performing well at work? What are your motives in performing well? Are you performing because you're trying to prove you're better than others? Are you performing at work because you want more attention, more money, more achievements, more approval, a greater job position? Now, these things are not wrong in and itself. Pero kung ito lang ang motivation ng ating puso, this is not enough. This can be borderline, if not idolatrous. Friends, if we are trying to please our superiors for the sake of acceptance, acclamations, appreciations, and awards, then our motivations bilang Christian are misplaced. Your motivations are misplaced. You have a short view on what your calling is bilang empleyadong Kristiyano. Bilang mga Kristiyanong namamasukan, ang dahilan kung bakit po natin kailangan pagbutihan ng ating trabaho ay primarily for the pleasure of pleasing Christ and give Him glory. That is the main purpose why we work. For the pleasure of pleasing Christ, for the ultimate purpose of His glory. Yun po ang dahilan. That's why we do it. That's why we work. Your life will be so miserable kung ang iisipin mo lang ang trabaho mo para ma-provide lang ang pangangailangan mo. You will be so miserable because there will come days na mahihirapan ka. At kung yan lang ang pinaka-pundasyon mo kung bakit ka nagtatrabaho. Yan nga ba sinasabi ko, ayoko na magtrabaho. Kung wala lang pinapaaral si Junior sa Pilipinas, hindi na ako magtatrabaho eh. Yung ganun ba ang mga litanyang ganun? That really pictures what is in your heart. Yan lang ang dahilan mo kung bakit ka nagtatrabaho. Friends, this is not the Christian mindset. This is not the Christian worldview. This is the worldly worldview. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Ano man ang inyong ginagawa, gawin ninyo ng buong puso. Yes, bakit? Na parang sa Panginoon kayo naglilingkod at hindi sa mga tao. Malinaw po yan. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Third, just to review yung ating sub-points. First of all, we must understand na we must, as Christians, submit to our superiors. Number two, kailangan po natin to seek to satisfy your superiors with your performance. Number three, speak kindly to your superiors. Speak kindly. Verse 9, slaves are not argumentative. Now, ang mga alipin sa panahon na iyon ay hindi magiging ganong ka-agresibo pagdating sa debate sa kanilang amo. Kasi kung magiging agresibo po sila, ang mangyayari po dyan, they will be severely punished. Kasi wala, ang pinakabatas po dyan ay yung amo niya. Wala siyang court of appeals o wala ang mga abogado na pwedeng takbuhan. Yung judge niya mismo yung amo niya. Yung po ang kalakaran doon. However, he could disagree with his master since the slave probably knows more than his master. Pagdating sa trabaho, pwede siya magbigay ng mga opinion niya. Marahil susunod ang slave kapag siya pinagmamalupitan ng kanyang amo, pero he would probably complain yung kalagay na yun all the time. Okay? The point is this, they should not contradict, argue, or talk back against their masters. In short, kaya maingat ang mga slaves noong time na yun. Yung iba, hindi nakakapagpigil. Kasi ito ang lingway mo dyan. Alamin mo ang posisyon mo. Ano ang posisyon mo sa ating dalawa? Alipin ka. Ako ang iyong master. Mga kaibigan, hindi po mali mag-express ng disagreement. At even giving your opinions and suggestions sa inyong mga superiors. Hindi po mali yun. In fact, we encourage that. Mas maganda sinishare po natin ang ating mga opinions and suggestions okay, sa ating mga superiors. Lalo na kung mas familiar kayo sa trabaho na yan kesa sa kanila. Kasi sometimes ang mga superiors natin, they look at the bigger picture, you see the details that they don't. Okay? So, importante yung ating bosses. And we should say it in a manner that is respectable at saka winsome. Na na-honor po natin ang ating mga amo. Pero kapag dumating na po sa point that our superiors are strongly suggesting na gawin natin ito, gawin natin ang kanilang pinag-uutos, then we should not retaliate. We should not be argumentative. We should not, hindi tayo dapat makipagdebate or pinipilit natin ang ating kagustuhan o ang ating opinion. We should be submissive. We should submit. Maybe you're here today and you don't talk back against your superiors. But do you talk against them behind their backs? Sometimes we express our disagreements not through words, but through our actions. Maaaring hindi tayo nakipagdebate, maaaring hindi tayo tipong hindi sumasagot, ikaw yung tipong tahimik. Pero isang paraan na pwede ikaw ay maging hostile sa iyong boss, ito ang gagawin po natin. We express it through our actions. Maaring deliberately hindi natin gagawin ang kanilang pinag-uutos. Ay, bahala ka sa buhay mo. Hindi ako magsasalta, pero bahala ka. Or, maybe ang gagawin natin, i-delay natin. Ah, hindi. Sabihin ko na lang, natabunan ng email kaya hindi ko nakita. Or, worse, sasabotahiin natin yung trabaho na siya yung masisisi na ginawa mo. That's kind of scary. But that happens. That happens. Friends, are you trying to push your ideas, suggestions, and agendas for the company to thrive? Or is it all for the sake of your pride? Friends, this should not be. Unang-una sa lahat, hindi tayo nilagay ng Panginoon sa posisyon nila, as I said earlier. God is the one who places people in authority over us, and He's the one who will remove them out from their authority. Number four. It will shock you, pagdating sa four. Stop stealing. Stop stealing.
Tigilan na natin ang pagnanakaw. Pastor, ano makakala mo sa akin? Magnanakaw. Eh, nasabi rito.
Verse 10, not pilfering. Ano yung sabihin ng pilfering? Pilfering means basically to steal. Bakit nasabi ni Paul yan sa mga alipin ng time na yon? Christian slaves ay hindi dapat ninanakawan ng kanilang mga masters. Probably this was prevalent nung time ni Paul kasi probably there were unjust treatment sa kanila ng kanilang mga amo. Kaya para makabawi, inanakawan ko tong amo kong ito. Tatakbuhan ko. Ito marahil yung ginawa ni Onesimus. Actually, yung ginawa ni Onesimus sa kay Philemon, sa Philemon chapter 18. Kaya sinulatan ni Paul nung nakakilala sa Panginoon si Onesimus dahil inalagaan siya ng pangailangan ni Paul. Tapos, I think, nakaging Christian siya, sinulatan niya kagad si Philemon at sinabing tanggapin siya at patawarin. Dahil sa patawarin niya yung kanyang ginawa. Maaari siguro ninakaw kasi slave si Onesimus. A Christian slave should not be marked by theft. A Christian employee should not be marked by theft. Pag tayo Kristiyano, hindi dapat tayo nagnanakaw. I need to say it, call it by its name. Masakit man ho sa ating tenga. Pero pastor, anong paraan ba tayo nakakapagnakaw? Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, bilang mga Kristiyanong namamasukan, hindi po dapat tayo makilala bilang mga manluloko. Hindi ba dapat tayo makilala bilang mga tao na mandaraya o nagnanakaw? So sa paanong paraan ba ang isang tao o isang Kristiyano nagnanakaw? Well, and I'm not just saying this to all, it's true to all. Okay? And as Christians, we should fight this. Now, let me categorize this in two ways. Number one, may tinatawag na obvious na nakawan. Meron din tinatawag na not so obvious na nakawan. Unahin natin yung obvious. Ito yung tipong pag binigay ko yung listahan, delikado, salbahay talaga yung mga yun. Yung tipong gaganong ka. Obvious! Naalala ko nung ako'y elder pa sa Redeemer, may nakausap ako isa sa mga member nila ron, and he was an accountant. And kinikwento niya yung mga challenges niya sa work, and there was a time na sinabi sa kanya ng kanyang boss na dayain yung numbers ng sales. I don't know, kung pa, bago i-present ata sa government para hindi makita na malaking kinikita nila or something like that. So, tinanong ko, ano ginawa mo? Well, the truth is, wala na akong trabaho ngayon. Now, alam mo ko ano yung ginawa ko. He said, no. Pero it's easy to just add 2 zeros and okay na. Now, ano yung mga obvious na nakawan? First of all, there should be no inflated expense accounts. Hindi pinalalaki, dinadagdagan o binabawasan. Second, falsifying receipts or timesheets, dinadaya yung spreadsheets. Borrowing or loaning money from colleagues that you have not paid or no plans of paying. Nako yan, yes. Kapag hindi natin binalik at wala tayong intention binalik, hindi sa atin yung pera na yon. Nakaw po yun. Sakit nyo naman magsalita. Hindi ho. We're just trying to do an exegete of the passage. Ano pa ang paraan? Unauthorized use of company or unauthorized use of company or employer's resources. Paggamit ng mga resources ng kumpanya para sa sariling kapakinabangan. Paggamit ng sasakyan, na dapat ginagamit ito sa trabaho, nasa gimikan. Ginagamit yung pangalan ng kumpanya para makakuha ng mga benefisyong pang personal. Ayun, nagtatrabaho sa ano yan, baka pwede mong bigyan ng magandang upuan sa restaurant. Pag nanakaw po ang tawag po dyan. These are unauthorized use of companies or employers' resources. Yun ang mga obvious. Of course, there is this gross deal of talagang nanakawin yung pera or nanakawin yung kagamitan. But let's go to the not so obvious. Ano yung mga not so obvious na nakawan na nangyayari? Unang-una, stealing your colleagues' ideas and plans and making it sound your own.
May narinig ka yan yung tipo nakikwentuhan lang kayo sa break. Ba, okay yan ah. Tapos, pagdating sa meeting, pinalabas mo na parang sa'yo. Ah, ikaw ngayon nakakuha. Tapos, tinitignan ka na masama ngayon ng kasama. Aking idea yan ah. Hindi mo sinabi, sorry ka na lang. Pag nanakaw po ang tawag ko dyan. Borrowing. Lagyan ko ng quotes yan ah. Borrowing. Ballpens. Papers. And paperclips. Na yung pangalan at yung logo ng kumpanya nasa ballpen, pero nandun sa bahay nyo. Sa kusina. Nililista yung mga kailangan sa palengke. At hindi na, ballpen lang. Ah, ingatan po natin. Nagbayad ang kumpanya dyan. Hindi natin binalik. Christians don't use company paper and printer to print out Bible study materials. Para naman kay Lord. Kilala ko tong kumpanya na ito na napaka-corrupt ng mapagpala na mga gamit naman para sa Panginoon yung mga papel na ito. Tapos may naiwan ka sa printer yung Bible study notes. Dumating yung si, kayo na to. This is, nakaw po yan kapatid. Una natin pagandahin, nakaw ang tawag dyan. Okay lang ba para kay Lord? Hindi po, nakaw po ang tawag dyan. Pag may scratch paper kayong nakita, magpaalam kayo, boss, pwede ba naming para hindi sa akin? Totoo, wala namang ginagawa sa scratch paper dito. Ipaalam po natin. Huwag natin i-claim, well, ako naman yung bossing dito, wala naman sila masa, ako yung taga-bila, ako yung nag-check ng mga ano rito eh, inventory, kaya walang makakalam niya kung hindi. Mas delikado yung ganyang pag-iisip. Don't print your Bible study materials using church office materials, okay? Kasi devoted po yan sa trabaho. Isa pa, don't use your work time to do your devotionals. Or use the company phone credit to have long discipleship calls. Kapatid, anong pwede ko pag-phrase sa'yo ngayon? At nakababad na. I mean, these are wonderful things. Huwag niyo gamitin, nakawin ang oras ng kumpanya sa pag-devotional mo. Nandun ka sa cubicle mo, hawak mo, bakit napaka-spiritual. Pero alas 10 na ng umaga, tambak na email mo. Alas 10 na ng umaga, dapat magsimula ka na magluto, maglinis. And pag pinuna ka ng bisor mo, sinipersecute ako. Eh, inanakaw mo yung oras eh. Inanakaw mo yung oras. Persecution matawag. Pastor, pag-pray nyo. Pag-pray ko, mag-flourish ang pagnanakaw ng oras. Hindi po. Don't prolong your lunch breaks for the sake of intentional discipleship meetings. Or whatever. Kapatid, do you get the point? We steal time, company time, devoted na kung saan para dapat sa kumpanya at binabayaran po tayo. Now why? Bakit kailangan natin huwag gawin itong mga bagay nito? Because you are stealing the company's time. Don't do it. If you do this, you are making the gospel look unattractive. Yan ba mga Kristiyano? Yan ba mga Kristiyano? Your action speaks louder than your confession. As Christians, we should be trustworthy. Katiwa-tiwala. That's why we go to the fifth sub-point ng number two. Show that you can be trusted. Show that you can be trusted. Verse 10. But showing all good faith. Now, yung conjunction but, sa verse 10, shows a strong contrast from what goes before it. Ano yung contrast before it? Stealing. But showing all good. Don't steal, but showing all good in faith. Yun naman sinasabi niya. The Christian slave must show that he is dependable and reliable at work. Dapat mapakita po natin yan. At ganun din sa mga Christian employees today. We must show, demonstrate. Kita mo yung third, yung verse 10, show all. It is meant to be displayed. Okay? Kailangan i-display natin, i-demonstrate that he or she is reliable, dependable, hardworking, and loyal even when the boss is not around to check you. Even when the boss is cruel or what you think incompetent.
showing all good faith. It means that you must constantly show that you can be trusted. Constantly show that you are loyal. Constantly show that you are faithful, because it reflects the true master that we serve. Here in Dubai, many are working hard. Many are working hard to be noticed by their superiors in order to receive praises and appraisals. And many will do all they could by hook or by crook. Na ibig sabihin by hook or by crook. O gagawin at hahamakin ng lahat kahit mali para maatim lang yung kanilang kagustuhan. This should not mark the Christian employee. The Christian employee must show that they are submissive, reliable, dependable, respectful, and growing in efficiency, not primarily to get a promotion or an increment, not to be applauded and rewarded, but for what? Why are we doing this? Ba't natin kailangan gawin ito? What's the reason? Anong dahilan kung bakit kailangan natin gawin ang lahat-lahat ng ito? Bilang isang Kristiyanong empleyado. Well, let's look at our third and last point. The purpose of the Christian servant's service. Ang layunin kung bakit po tayo naglilingkod. Ang layunin kung bakit po tayo nagtatrabaho. Ang layunin ng Kristiyanong naglilingkod. Verse 10. So that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Ang layunin kung bakit kinakailangan ng isang Kristiyanong empleyado ipakita na sila'y tapat, mapagkakatiwalaan, matuwid, gracious, at submissive is to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Is to adorn. Ano ibig sabihin ng adorn? The word adorn is a Greek word kosmeo. Na kung saan ang kosmeo, nakuha ko natin yung salitang cosmetics. Okay? Cosmetics. Basically, it means to put in order or ilagay sa ayos, or which can also mean to beautify or to make beautiful or to make attractive. So when a Christian employee is submissive, dependable, reliable, loyal, faithful, trustworthy, it beautifies, it magnifies the gospel of Jesus Christ. It makes it sound and look attractive. Kanyan pa kayo sa church nyo? Yun ang gusto natin tono eh. Hindi, kanyan ba kayo sa church nyo? Hindi yun yung tono na gusto natin. Matakot ho tayo pag gano'n na yung tono na binibitawan sa atin. Okay? And when the people in the workplace starts to notice yung pamumuhay mo, they will, in the back of their minds, compare their misdeeds from your faithfulness and be in a way convicted by it, and they will be drawn by it until they ask the question, why? Bakit? Bakit mo ginagawa to? Bakit? Why are you so kind? Why are you so honest? Why are you so reliable and dependable? Why are you so gracious? Kahit ganyan na yung sinasabi sa'yo, bakit lagi kang on time? Why? And here, mga kapatid ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo, is the part that we let the gospel of Jesus Christ be heralded. That's the time. They've seen the fruit of godly service sa buhay mo. Now, they want to know what empowers it. Now, they want to know what motivates it. Now, they want to know what caused such glorious transformations sa buhay mo. Last year, hindi ka ganyan eh. Hindi ka ganyan dati. Anong meron sa'yo ngayon? Anong kinain mo? Minsan, bibiruin pa tayo ng ganun, di ba? But no, something really happened. Something, our friends, we answer them by saying it is not what caused it. We answer by saying who caused it. And we will say, well, because, mga kaibigan, we serve a much greater master. He is the cause of all godly service sa aking buhay. Because without Him, we will continue to be rebellious and not submissive. We will continue to be thieves and not trustworthy. We will continue to be unfaithful at hindi faithful. In the sight of a holy, righteous God, we are all wicked, worthless servants and deserve to be punished into the eternal darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But our Master Jesus Christ came and lived a life of faithfulness, came and submitted to the Father's will in everything. In His living and in His dying, Jesus came to serve us by dying on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for our rebellion against Him. Through His life, death, and resurrection, those who turn away from their rebellious ways and trusted Jesus as the Master and Savior of their lives will immediately be free. Free from the slavery of sin. Their status before God will immediately change from slave to a child. Friends, I urge you, repent from your sins. Turn away. Turn away on the things na pinahahawakan mo sa buhay mo. Yung self-righteousness natin. Turn away. And put your faith and hope on Christ's finished work on the cross. Para sa kapatawaran ng iyong kasalanan at kaligtasan. Friends, as servants of Christ, who have been renewed and transformed by the power of the grace, of His grace, work now has a deeper and more significant purpose than is to make the good news of Jesus Christ more attractive to the watching world. Yan na ang purpose mo why you work. Hindi para makaipon, primarily. Hindi para masustento ang pangangailangan ng family or makauwi sa Pilipinas na kagad. That's not the primary thing. The fundamental, the most important thing why you work is for you to live a life. Your life itself is a pointer to Christ. Is your life bilang empleyado pointing to Christ? Friends, because the gospel produces godly servants who provide godly service in order to make the gospel of Christ look attractive. To that end, let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to You with broken hearts and with crushed spirits. We hear the preaching of Your word and we see yung sinfulness ng aming sins. We are rebellious, we are wicked, we are thieves, we are not faithful to You. Oh Father, forgive us. We know we can come to You for forgiveness because we know that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand, at Your right hand, interceding for us. In Him we have hope. I pray, Panginoon, na pagpasok namin sa aming trabaho next week o mamaya, give us a different lenses. Instead of seeing it as just a means to provide our needs, I pray, Father, that let us see through lenses na these are means. Our jobs are our means in order to get the gospel of Christ out and make Him look glorious. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.